Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Damn it, Brooklyn! Bayo! Somebody tell him he's a rookie.
And welcome into the show, everybody. Jesse Cass here with you for the Believe in Clippers podcast here on the Believe Podcast Network. Thanks so much for tuning in, as always, as we have a really fun and exciting show, a crossover episode with my other show on the platform, the Believe in LMU Basketball podcast. Both of these shows, this week and next, will be having the same guest, same conversation as this week. We have Dan Dicka, who played at Gonzaga, was a first-team All-American, so of course played in the same conference as the LMU Lions, and also played with the LA Clippers during his NBA career. We talked to him this week about his time with college basketball with Gonzaga, talking about their competition in the WCC, his thoughts on LMU, and then of course his NBA career, his thoughts on the Clippers, not only then, but now, and also everything in between, going into The Last Dance, and all of that with Dan Dicka. A really fun conversation with him, and next week we'll have another guest who will span across both the Clippers and LMU as well. So hope that you enjoy this little crossover between the Clippers and LMU basketball here on the Believe Podcast Network, and also know you can find either show, including this one, of course, on any podcast platform that you can find. If you're on Apple, please rate, review, and subscribe. We're also available on Stitcher, Google, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeart, whatever you need. This podcast is available there, and all podcasts on the Believe Podcast Network are at Believe.com. So with all of that said, we're not going to waste too much time before getting to our conversation with Dan Dicka, but we do know that the NBA continues to try to inch their way forward to see if they can continue what has been an incredible NBA season. We've, of course, been on hold since March. Adam Silver had a conference call with players trying to kind of get the ball rolling, see if it's possible to go into this bubble scenario, which we've talked about on numerous episodes over the past couple of months for the NBA. Still trying to figure that out. It could be Orlando and Disney World. It could be Vegas. It could be both. But we know that the NBA is working hard to do it. And it seems to have the support of the players that they want to play. They want to finish out the season. And now it's all about logistics, if there'll be enough tests, if the tests don't take away from the people who really need it, and so many other things. So we know it's as complex an issue as you can figure out, with not only trying to battle this deadly virus, but how to potentially finagle sports back into the mix. So we know the NBA will do everything they possibly can, and we should have an answer sometime in June if the NBA season is to continue, what the timeline looks like, if there's going to be a little training camp and everything that goes along with that. So we'll continue to keep our ears to the ground on that and see any updates that come with the NBA and the potential continuation of the season and the playoffs. But until then, we're still in the waiting game. We hope everyone out there is staying safe and being smart, wearing your mask when you're outside, and try to avoid large crowds and continue to wash in those hands and get through this thing together as we have been doing. So with all that said, we do have a great show this week. We have Dan Dicka, as we mentioned, to talk about what we just mentioned, the NBA potentially returning, his time at Gonzaga, his thoughts on LMU, his time with the Clippers, some stories about his time with the Donald Sterling era, and everything in between. So here it is, Dan Dicka on the Believe in Clippers and Believe in LMU podcast. We're now joined here by our guest, Dan Dicka, former NBA pro, first-team All-American back at Gonzaga, WCC Player of the Year, very well-accomplished player, and very happy to have him here. So Dan, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's always good to reconnect with Clipper fans, Clipper media. And I won't hold it against you that you're also connected to Loyal Marymount. So I'll do my best to not hold that against you.
Yeah, absolutely. As you mentioned there, our paths have crossed before with you, of course, being a Gonzaga alum and working some of the Gonzaga games and a lot of college basketball games within the conference, and myself working with LMU. So on that start, what has it been like for you to see? You were kind of at the start of Gonzaga when they really were taking off to become the powerhouse program that they are now, to kind of be one of the leaders to make that happen. What has that been like for you?
You know, there's been a lot of pride knowing that I was part of that first wave. I mean, the true first wave would have been, you know, that the team in, I believe it was 95, that made the first NCAA tournament appearance. They didn't win any games, but it kind of set the tone, I think, for how Coach Few and Monson and Billy Greer at the time wanted to recruit, in knowing that, hey, you know what? We don't just want to get to the NCAA tournament. We want to win a game or two and see what that feels like. Then you fast forward a couple of years with that first Elite Eight run with Matt Santangelo, Richie Fromm, Casey Calvary's tip in against Florida. You know, that was the group that really got things going. That was my sophomore year at the University of Washington, and I knew all those guys from playing with them AAU basketball, playing against them in high school, and I just saw that as kind of a something that I wanted to be a part of. I knew Richie really well because we went to school for a couple of years growing up in middle school, and we were workout partners in the summers in high school and even in college. And I looked at the trajectory and arc of his career individually, but then also what they were doing as a team at Gonzaga. You know, I wanted to be a part of that. And so luckily I was able to transfer, and things worked out very well after my, you know, red shirt year that you have to sit out when you transfer, and became Gonzaga's, you know, first team All-American, and take a lot of pride in that. But where the program has gone from those days, where myself, my junior, senior year, we just didn't want the thing to go back to, you know, being called a Cinderella. You know, we felt that we were beginning to arrive on a national stage. We felt we could compete with the better and biggest and best programs in the country. And so we didn't want to, you know, have that NCAA tournament appearance streak end on us. And then the groups after it kind of took it to the next level. And now, you know, over the last 5-6 years, it's just been incredible what they've done. All the Sweet 16s, the Elite Eights, the national title game appearance. And it's looking like, depending on if Kispert, Ayayi, and Patricia come back from their kind of flirtation with the NBA draft process. If those guys come back, there's a very legitimate chance that Gonzaga could be the number one ranked team in the preseason next year.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, that's kind of been a regular occurrence for this team, at least being up in the top 10 and toward the top 5 and 1 over the past couple of years. And you mentioned transferring over from Washington and that first run for Gonzaga when you were there. That happened under Dan Munson, and then, of course, since then, it's been Mark Few becoming one of the best coaches in all of basketball, and you were a part of that for his first couple of years. What's it been like to see Mark Few develop into that coach that's turned this program into what you mentioned, a Cinderella, and now one of the premier programs in the country?
Well, I think the biggest thing with Coach Few is he's so competitive, and he instills that in all of his guys. He never quits. He never takes a day of practice off. He never takes a game off. I mean, he wants to win every game. And he believes that he's got the group that can do it. I think where Coach Few has changed from the time that I was playing for him till now is just he's always had a really good feel for the game as far as knowing when to cut, kind of sub guys in and out, when to go with a hot hand, when to kind of really, you know, dig into a guy and kind of, you know, poke him and get that burning desire to fire out of certain guys when it's needed. But I think where he's gotten better is his understanding on the offensive end of utilizing space and utilizing your weapons. When I was there, we did some pick and roll work, but we ran a lot of flex offense. You know, you had to be able to read screens, come off screens. You had to be able to, you know, be able to play motion as well, because we did that at times. Now you look at what they do, they have a lot of the European continuity ball screen, which has become so very popular. So they mix that in with some isolations for their key guys. And the one thing that they have never left all these years, they continue to be have this be a huge focus, is their high-low game, which is kind of a lost art all levels of basketball. Gonzaga does that as well as anybody in the country, and they have for the last 20-some years.
Yeah, and of course you mentioned the connection that we have, you know, myself working with Loyola Marymount, who it's noted and well-known, they haven't made the NCAA tournament since the Hank Gathers, Bo Kimble years in 1990. They've had some ups and downs. They were pretty down when you were at Gonzaga. They've obviously been, you know, up and down, as you mentioned, since then. They just hired a new coach, head coach in Stan Johnson. What do you think he needs to do to get this program back at a higher level in what is now a really competitive West Coast Conference with, of course, Gonzaga and a lot of other good teams surrounding them?
Yeah, you know, I think Coach Dunlap, first off, I thought he did a really nice job over the last couple of years. They kind of got into that middle tier after being kind of bottom of the WCC for quite some time. And then last year, they had some injuries. The last 2 years, they had injuries.
Yeah.
And then they had some guys kind of take a step away at a time that didn't really help. You know, but the one thing about his teams is they always competed. They were always prepared. They played really hard. And they gave Gonzaga some good games over the years. They gave some other teams some fits over the years. But I understand and know in this day and age of college sports, is if you're not winning up to the expectations of the athletic department or the university, you know, you're going to have a short stay. Obviously they felt they needed to make a change. You know, Stan Johnson, I don't know a ton about him yet. I'm sure I will learn quite a bit leading into next season with prep for the college basketball broadcasting year. But I mean, he's got a pretty good resume. He was with Wojciechowski in Marquette. It looks like he's made a splash in the Southern California area by reaching out to, you know, the right AAU guys, the right high school coaches, and he's made quite a few offers to a lot of the kids in the area. You know, I've always felt that Loyola Marymount could potentially be a sleeping giant just because you're in such a basketball hotbed, the LA area. If you've got a great eye for evaluating talent, maybe you can swoop in and find an undervalued guy that USC or San Diego State or UCLA missed on with their evaluation and their recruiting. You know, the one thing that will honestly hold Loyola Marymount back a little bit more is the facilities. I mean, I don't think that gym hasn't been changed or remodeled in quite some time. You know, just some cosmetic things here and there. But I understand to do those things that you want to do, you've got to probably start off with some success and get a little buzz around your program and get some boosters and some alumni ready to jump in and be a part of getting it to the next level. You know, I think when you look at the WCC, Gonzaga is far and away above everybody with what I just described. I think BYU is similar, but it's different because, you know, they're a much bigger school.
Yeah.
They've got football and they've got some other things that most schools in the WCC don't have. You know, and then St. Mary's, they've done as best they can with their facility issues of size and campus size. So maybe that could be a blueprint for Loyola Marymount and how to, you know, build upon success if and when it comes.
Yeah, no question about it. And we mentioned at the top of the show or just at the intro that, of course, you had a long NBA career. You know, part of that, one of those seasons was with the LA Clippers. And talking about things that have changed over time, obviously the Clippers going from one of the worst franchises in basketball to now a contender and where they sit right now. You were there in the 07-08 season where they had come off a couple of years of good success and had some good talent, but really dealt with a very injury-plagued season. But what do you remember from your short time with the Clippers and kind of just seeing from what they were then to what they've become now?
You know, I enjoyed my time with the Clippers. You know, I loved living out in L.A. I loved, you know, I thought our team was very talented and skilled. We just had a number of injuries, and we also just had some games we just couldn't get it done. You know, that was the year Elton Brand tore his Achilles in the summer before, and so I don't think he came back until maybe the last 10 games or so, and by that point we were, you know, just outside the playoff race. Catino Mobley was a veteran. Sam Cassell, Tim Thomas, Chris Kamen was a dominant center at times. But again, we could just never fully put things together and be able to get to the playoffs. You know, there was, looking back at it though, you know, that was an interesting time because, you know, Mike Dunleavy was still the coach. Elgin Baylor was the general manager. Neil Olshey was involved in some personnel decisions. But you're right, they weren't the Clippers of what the Clippers are now. And I think a lot of that credit has to go to Doc Rivers. I played for Doc in Boston 2 years before I was with the Clippers. And just a great leader, a very, very good coach, but a tremendous leader, a guy that communicates well and gets people to buy in to what the vision of the team needs to be at that particular moment. I mean, it's there's no wonder why, you know, the Clippers aren't now one of the premier destinations for players. You know, you couple Doc with the fact that you got such a great owner in Steve Ballmer who's willing to leave no stone unturned. It makes sense that the Clippers are one of the best organizations now.
While you're waiting this out at home, you can still have some fun betting with our partner, betonline.ag. No NBA, NHL, or MLB, but don't worry. BetOnline still has hundreds of games, events, and sports to wager on. NASCAR is back, Madden and NBA 2K simulations with a $10,000 Madden Bracket Challenge, UFC, online casino with poker and blackjack, and coming up next Sunday, BetOnline has ex-Chicago Bulls Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, Craig Hodges, and Ron Harper joining to discuss the Michael Jordan doc on what they are calling the final dance. They're still fun to be had, so go to betonline.ag and use the promo code MYPOD100 to receive your welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's betonline.ag and use the promo code MYPOD100. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. Yeah, and I saw that, of course, the Clippers have a documentary coming out, Blackball, talking about the Donald Sterling era and really the blow-up that happened in the playoffs against the Warriors. J.J. Redick, you know, it's a well-known story now, but it's coming back out and recirculating that when he initially was traded to the Clippers, it was almost nixed because Donald Sterling didn't want J.J. Redick and a white player on his roster. I know you commented under his tweet that you had a similar experience. What was your experience like with Donald Sterling? And we know there's so many stories from so many players about just awkward exchanges, but your experience with Donald Sterling in that way.
Well, I mean, mine is nowhere near, you know, what JJ's was. You know, obviously, Donald Sterling would go to the majority of the games and he'd sit there. And, you know, I think one of the big interactions I ever remember was after a really good game that I had in the loading dock about to get in the car with my family. I believe they actually gave my daughter at the time, who was really small, they gave her a present because I can't remember what the circumstances were. It might have been around the Christmas time, I'm not quite sure, but the present was given to my daughter and we were kind of small chat for a little bit and basically said, you're doing a great job, I can't wait to have you on back on the Clippers next year, and kind of for the basically making me feel like I was going to be a part of the team. And I know that's, you know, said a lot, but, yeah, you know, come to find out later that summer, in talking to my agent during, you know, the free agent process of trying to figure out what my opportunities were going to be. And this was right before I ended up deciding to go, try my hand in Europe because I had a good opportunity over there. You know, there was just some things that were said in between conversations between my agent and their, and that group that were relayed back to me that just made me shake my head. I mean, so I'm not surprised about that J.J. Redick story at all.
Yeah, we know. I'm sure multiple players have similar stories from that era. But as we mentioned, things are obviously different now. This current Clippers team, as we know, very talented up near the top of the standings. And, you know, if basketball is able to continue, they think they have a real shot at the title. You know, there's been talk about having the NBA finish the season in a bubble type scenario. Do you think, first off, that's possible? And what would you be entertained by that, scene, a game with no fans in a bubble and seeing that product compared to what we're used to?
Well, I mean, I would love to see the NBA finish their season in some way. And then that would impact the calendar for future NBA seasons, which has been discussed. I think it would be tremendous to start the season later so they don't compete with the NFL and college football when they get started. You know, but the bottom line, though, is the country and everything going on right now, we've got to get through this kind of stage of figuring out how to be healthy, how to keep others healthy, how to make the economy get back going. There's so many things that have to happen first. Now, in looking at professional sports and sports in general, that's a huge part of a lot of people's daily lives. They get joy from it. They're entertained. Athletes, obviously, that's a source of income for a professional. Professional sports drive a big part of a lot of cities' economies. So I think that would help. But again, I think so much of it comes down to how to keep everybody safe. And do they bring the fans back, which I would imagine they wouldn't right off the bat? How do they keep the players and the families and everybody? Do you keep them all in the same pocket in the city, like in LA or Vegas or Orlando, like I know has been discussed? But at the end of the day, I just want to see our country get through this. I want to see as many people stay healthy as possible. And then we can kind of continue to move forward into the professional sports. But that being said, I definitely miss basketball, and I hope there's a way that the smarter people than I can get this figured out.
Yeah, we can only hope so. And obviously, there's still quite some time before the college basketball season as well. But so we can only hope that things are a little bit calmer and more figured out for the college season, knowing that, you know, so much traveling takes place for these kids and playing those games, that'll obviously be something to be discussed and figured out when that time rolls around as well.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the one that, you know, everyone's talking about, hey, what about college football? me personally, I'm not a huge college football fan, so it doesn't really impact me. I want to know what the thoughts are with college basketball.
Yeah.
You know, I love the game of college basketball. I'm lucky enough to be able to be a part of it by being a basketball analyst for a number of television networks. So let's fast forward the football stuff and let's get the basketball season figured out when it's appropriate.
Yeah, no question about it. And on the pro game, we mentioned that you, of course, were a first round pick. You mentioned your time with the Clippers. In the 2004-05 season, you got a chance to really get extended time as a starter and averaged over 13 points and 5 assists. And we know that for so many players, it always comes down to circumstance, whether it's injuries or getting the right opportunity. How did you feel like your time in the league was? I know you dealt with injuries as well, but getting the opportunity to play and really showcase your skills and show that you really belonged as a pro out there.
Yeah, I think the big thing for any young player, unless you're like a true transcendent guy who is just going to start in from day one, step in on day one and be a starter on a team or an all-star level. And I'm talking guys like LeBron and Ja Morant and Zion most recently. You know, those guys are pegged. Hey, look, the organization's being built around you. Everyone else, you have to be lucky enough to be put in an opportunity where either you can learn right off the bat and improve by your experiences, or you need to have a solid organization with some veterans that can kind of really lead and guide and teach you and help you prepare for when your opportunity and time comes to get some minutes. Now, you know, for me, I struggled with some injuries right off the bat. My rookie year, coach got fired. While I was out rehabbing a knee injury, new coach comes in with a different philosophy and my skill set doesn't fit that philosophy. So I kind of floundered my first year and a half before getting traded to Portland. That was all great and awesome because that's where I grew up in that area and I was home. But, you know, again, I didn't have a big opportunity to really kind of cement myself in the rotation or when those opportunities did come, because they were so far and few in between, unfortunately, I wasn't able to make the most of it. So I kind of went into year three of the year you mentioned, really up in the air. Like, hey, this is kind of a make or break year for me. I know I'm not going to have my option picked up, because at the time, a first round pick was a 3-year guarantee with a 4th-year option by the team. And I knew I wasn't going to get it picked up because, again, after that second summer, Portland traded me to Golden State, and then Golden State traded me to Dallas. And then Dallas had a press conference releasing, introducing all their new players. Well, lo and behold, I wasn't involved or invited to that press conference because they had no plans for me. They had no use. I went to training camp, obviously with a guaranteed contract because it was my 3rd year, but really with an outside perspective trying to make the team. I think there was 17 guaranteed contracts going for 15 spots. And so I had a tremendous training camp. Things shook out, and I ended up sticking with Dallas. But they were a veteran ball club that ended up winning 50-some games that year. So I was third season in the league, still scratching claw and trying to find my way. Jason Terry's a starting point guard. Devin Harris, they had just drafted, I think, with the 6th pick, and so he was being groomed as their point guard of the future. So I really didn't get a chance to play in Dallas as well as I played in training camp, preseason, and in practices. I think I only played in 4 games the first month and a half of the season, and then I got traded to New Orleans. But all that preparation that I had kind of put forth allowed me, so when I got to New Orleans, I kind of knew it was make or break. I had to make the most of this if I was going to extend my career. And so when I got to New Orleans and I finally got my chance, I went all out. I was aggressive. I didn't pass up shots. I played with the confidence, the swagger that, made me show to other people that I felt that I belonged on that court. And in doing that, I played with a lot of success, and I was able to have a nice 55 games or whatever it was with New Orleans, start the majority of the season once I got there, and then extend my career.
Yeah, and you mentioned it a little bit there, of getting traded a couple times, and you were traded 8 different times in your career, including twice on the same draft night in 2006. And, of course, on your own draft night, you were traded from the Kings to the Hawks. So just on terms of the business side of things, what was that like as being the actual player getting traded from team to team? And we hear it so often about it being a business, but you experienced it on your end of being in that process and dealing with trades.
Well, I mean, again, I kind of mentioned when you're young in your career, even as a rookie, you know if you're one of the core guys on the team. If you're not, really a lot of it comes down to, does your number with your salary fit within the goals and the long-term vision of how that franchise wants to fit into the salary cap? Do they want to go over the luxury tax? Are they eyeing a trade for somebody? And if so, does your number help the trade match up salary-wise? And that's, honestly, that's a lot of why I was in some of these trades. Some of it was because I didn't fit the personnel that the front office wanted to put on the floor and maybe the coach's style of how they wanted to play. And that's fine because it is what it is. But, that's kind of the piece that a lot of people don't understand is you could be unbelievably good, not get a chance and get traded because your number fits. You could be very good on the team, but they have to make the numbers in a trade work, and that the organization doesn't necessarily want to trade you, but they have to make a trade work. So that's kind of the basketball piece. On the business side, yeah, you learn right away. You're just a number, unless you're one of those key cogs in the franchise, which is very few and far in between. My wife became very good at packing and unpacking, understanding, okay, well, we're in a new city. This is how we get around. This is what we do. But at the end of the day, I was blessed to play in the NBA for 6 years and a little bit of overseas time. And, there, there were some negatives to it, like you mentioned, the trades and the moving, but at the end of the day, I got to compete, and I got to realize a goal and dream to play against the best players in the world and compete against the best players in the world, and that's something that to this day, I'm very grateful for.
Yeah, no question, and we know that really the only sports-related thing going on right now or that had went on was the Last Dance documentary. I saw you were tweeting about it, excited about it, along with pretty much all basketball fans out there. That, of course, just came to an end this past weekend. Outside of the obvious of just the greatness of Michael Jordan, what did you take from that documentary and just watching that unfold over the past couple of weeks?
I mean, it was phenomenal. It brought back so many memories for me when I was a kid watching these different games, these playoff series. But I think the biggest thing that I took away from it is just how competitive he was. He didn't want to lose at anything. He had an ultimate focus to win and do whatever it took to win. And it just blew me away. I mean, because I've heard the stories, I've read the books, I've watched all these games. But then when you get to relive it and hear it again, I think the competitiveness of him just struck me even more.
Yeah, no question about it. And it said getting to relive that, very exciting stuff. And Dan, we really appreciate you taking the time and being so gracious with your time here today. Hope that you're staying safe through this with your family, and hopefully be able to catch up, get a normal-ish college basketball season, be able to catch up in a couple of months.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on, and best of luck to the Clippers and the Lions, except when the Lions play Gonzaga. So thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah.
Winning comes in all shapes and sizes. It's different for you. It's different for me. One thing is certain. Every day, there's an opportunity to win. Just like scratchers from the Virginia Lottery. Every day grab and go, every day giftable, every day fun. The new lucky number scratcher from the Virginia Lottery. 32 chances to win $500,000 plus 4 bonus games. Stop by your closest retailer and check it out. For odds and more information, visit valottery.com.
Absolutely, Dan. Thanks again. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Believe in Clippers podcast. Once again, a big thank you to Dan Dickow for coming on the show, and thank you again for tuning in. Know that if you enjoy the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple. That always helps us out. And know we're also available wherever else podcasts can be found, including Google Play, TuneIn, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart, whatever you need, we are there. And of course, Believe.com, where you can find any and every show on the platform, including this one, and of course, the Believe in LMU Basketball podcast, where you can hear the same Dan Dickow interview plus some other LMU insight on that episode as well. So with all that said, thank you again for tuning in here in the Believe Podcast Network, LA's number one sports podcast network and the only place with a show for every team in LA and more. We believe in our LA teams. Do you believe? Go Clips.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.